Welcome to the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper Podcast. My name is Jay Shalansky, and joining me, as always, is the one, the only, the master of ceremonies and the force, Mr. Evan Boris.
Hey, how's it going? Better or worse?
Too much?
Yeah.
Okay. It's really just, hey, how's it going in different ways now?
Yeah, well, I did the other stuff, and you look at me weird, so I'm like, all right, well, can that one.
I feel like I look at you weird no matter what you do.
I mean, yes.
Why is this the thing you're picking?
Well, now I'm self-conscious about it, all right? Don't worry about it, okay?
You do what you gotta do, homie.
I will.
All right, so welcome to the Fifth Trooper Podcast. We're gonna talk about, I don't know, maybe Star Wars Legion today?
Hopefully, maybe.
A little bit. This episode is going to be geared towards newer players. It's going to kind of be a little bit of a primer.
Yeah, we got almost like a variety show kind of going on today, right?
I like that, yeah.
Like I think of the Muppets. It's time to set the podcast.
Yeah.
It's time to dress up right.
I like it.
Easy. Maybe we'll do a whole Legion song about Muppets sometime.
That's a Disney property as well, so I think we could do a crossover.
Put it on the Patreon, perhaps.
But yeah, so we're going to talk about some stuff. We've got some special guests that are going to talk about some stuff. First up, let's just quickly, I'm sure you guys are sick of us talking about it, so I'm just going to briefly cover it. Patreon's up. If you want to subscribe, we would appreciate that. We are right now debating amongst ourselves. We're not going to tell you what we're doing, but we're debating amongst ourselves what our first quarterly giveaway will be for our mid and top tier, and I can tell you it's gonna be excellent.
Yeah, no, there's been debates on how, like, every time we bring up something else, this becomes cooler.
Yeah,
and then more ideas kind of go for that. So yeah, it's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah, so anyways, patreon.com/thefifthtrooper if you're interested. If you don't want to spend money, once again, subscribe to us on YouTube. That would help us out as well. So that's, I'm gonna keep that short this week.
Perfect.
All right, great. So let's move into Legion news.
News from the week in Legion.
All right, welcome to Legion news. First up, Gen Con's this week. And last night, we had the in-flight report. And actually, later on in this episode, we're going to be talking to David Zelenka from Notorious Scoundrels. And we basically are interviewing him while he's on the floor after the in-flight report, which it was pretty cool. So hold on for that a little bit later. And part of that news, too, is not only will the Clone Wars core set be available for sale at Gen Con, but they're also going to early release Imperial Shore Troopers and Dewback Riders
as
well.
That's pretty
cool. So that's about a few weeks ahead of time. That one's not as big of a deal. I think the Clone Wars core set's a bigger deal because I think that's an end of September or even maybe October release.
Jeez, I really hope it's September. I just really want to get it in my hands, you know. I want to start using it.
Also in news, we have I guess you would call it a spoiler slash preview article. Yeah. Most of this was spoiled, actually, right on our stream.
Yeah, it was actually both Neo. Spoiled on our stream and also their official one.
Yeah, and then the Fantasy Flight one a couple days later.
Yeah.
So basically, they came out, what's the article called? The Doom of the Republic. I like that. They basically came out with the droid spoilers. These were, you know, what last week we talked about the clone spoilers. And so, you know, they have Grievous's Annihilator gun on there, which looks super sick. They've got his
command cards. I've been trained in your Jedi arts by Count Dooku.
Yeah, and so we're not going to go through all of them now, but there's just some really neat stuff up there. Go check it out. They've got the B1 battle droid cards up in spoil, which I think we've seen before.
Yep.
They kind of go over how the order issuing works with coordinate and AI attack. So if you're interested in looking at that, they also have the droidica cards up there, both front and back spoiled, which is awesome. And they just kind of go through the droidicas, how they work. So, you know, go check that out. They still have it listed as third quarter release of 2019, so that's probably September.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Also, like, even if you've already seen the cards, they give you a really good close-up of the models. Like, that Grievous gets that 360.
Yeah.
And some other stuff, so it's really worth looking at.
We're doing it wrong.
All right, so we're here at We're Doing It Wrong. This one, we're going to talk a little bit, not necessarily what we're doing wrong, but we wanted to kind of prep all of you out there. If this is your first miniature game and your first kind of foray into hobby, you need to prepare yourself.
Very much so.
So Clone Wars, the droids specifically, will be on sprues. And, you know, we had an interview with Derek from FFG a couple episodes ago, where Kevin was on, and so I realized we didn't really prepare you guys for this and what that means for you. So you're going to want a couple tools that you probably don't have right now. Number one, an X-Acto knife.
Yep.
That's key. Number two, those little snips. I forgot what they're actually called. But
yeah, people's called snips. Yeah,
if you go to any hobby store, even like an art store, you can get them. They're just little clippers. They look almost very identical to like electrical wire clippers.
Yeah, when I was in really heavy in Gunpla, building Gundam models, I used to use toenail clippers. I'd buy a special pair because I could get real close to it. This was before there was hobby stores.
Right.
So thank God they exist now.
Yeah, and so you're going to need that. You're going to need the X-Acto knife. You're going to need, they have small kind of files or sandpaper sticks. You'll need those to kind of clean up the area. Because here's what's going to happen. So for those of you that don't understand or know what sprues are, is it's basically like a rack system. And the little legs and arms and the bodies of the droids are going to be connected to this rack. Think of it like think of it like a clothing rack, right?
Yep.
Except
yeah.
The clothes are connected to it. And so you have to just kind of snip the body parts off in order to get them off. They're not always as clean as you want, so you go back through with the X-Acto knife, clean it up a little bit after you've snipped, use the small file sandpaper stick to file it down, smooth it out. You're going to want to start with like a heavier grit at first to get the big stuff off, and then a lighter grit to make it smooth. And that's kind of how you're going to have to treat your models now. They're not going to be as out of the box ready for you, especially on the droids for this first.
Yeah, the droids. Round. Well, the clones will still be in little baggies.
Yeah.
But so, good thing you mentioned those tools. I never sand.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to try to do if you want them to be, you know, really pitch perfect. But you can go into most any like local game store or hobby place, and they have these little get started kits.
Yeah.
It's what I buy when I need more stuff. It's like it comes with scissors, like a X-Acto knife with some blades, a little cut mat. So when you're trying to, cut on a table and not worry about chopping up your table if you want to. Those are usually, don't quote me, but MSRP, about 20, 25 bucks to get going is usually to like a little kit with generic stuff in it.
Yeah, I think like Army Painter has them with paints too, and those are 50.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad deal. I wonder if I know they're doing paints for Legion, which is, we'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting if they did like a Get Started Legion kit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're there yet. They're new to the hobby. That may be down the road. But I would recommend if you go to any of your local stores, if they've got Warhammer, they've got this stuff. If you haven't seen it already, that's okay. You know, they've got little kits, all together kits. They've got all this stuff broken out.
Yep.
Real easy to get a hold of. Also, Hobby Lobby or Michael's,
any
of those like art stores will have them as well. Most of those stores have like a model section, and you can get all those tools there.
They'll be in like the model playing car section. That's where I used to get mine.
Yeah. And then, so that you kind of want to, you're going to have to prep the plastic a little bit more. Once you do that, so we had talked on that same episode with Derek and Kevin about not using super glue. And the reason is, you can. It's not against the rules or anything. It's not going to ruin your model. It's just you're going to be dealing with smaller pieces now, kind of like Sabine or Boba's pieces.
Yeah, Boba, little fire jets.
Yeah. And so what's going to happen is you're going to glue your fingers together. And so that's kind of what
that's,
we were
that's
talking
That's
kind of
like
about.
A rite of passage, though. Like you're not really trying until you've glued your hand to a piece or glued your hand together.
Right.
Like that's...
But here's my thing. So they have plastic glue, okay? But what happens with plastic glue is it it kind of melts the plastic a little bit in order for the two sides to adhere to each other. So I don't necessarily like plastic glue. What I would recommend is if you're going to use super glue, they have accelerants. So just go Google accelerant, okay? You're going to put a little dab of glue on one end, and then you're going to spray the accelerant on the other end, and you're just going to press them together, and it will dry within a second.
So I got a funny story about accelerant.
All right, go for it.
So my first Nova, 2017, I believe, I signed up for a Dark Age build and play kit, and you got a starter.
Mm-hmm.
You went did a little baby tournament, like everyone's just learning to play. And I really wish Legion would do that. Because how easy it is to put against Stormtroopers or something, right? You put them together, you got like an hour before, and you got with a bunch of other people who hadn't played before. So we all built together. It was cool. Like, it was a neat little thing. But there's accelerant around, right? And the glue wasn't really meant, they gave us the wrong glue. So it was more meant for like plastic, not metal. These were pewter figures.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like spraying this accelerant all over the place. Be careful when you're spraying it is where I'm kind of going with the story.
Yeah.
And so I was covered in it, right? So I smelled like kerosene because it's almost what it is. So we all did. And one guy is like, I need a smoke. Never mind. And so he's like, I got to go take a So his room was in the, I was talking to him, his room was in the place. So he's like, I got to go change before I even light a match. So it is flammable. And it smells like gas, more or less what it is.
Yeah. It's good though.
Oh, no. It, definitely a good product. But yeah, just be prepared. Like the first time I did it, my pants were just covered. And I had to spend the whole day smelling like kerosene.
So yeah, so glue options are any super glue. Like you can go get Gorilla Glue at Walmart or any store and use that. Or you could go get plastic glue that's meant for this. I have used plastic glue a long time ago in the past. I don't like it. I use super glue. Yes, I still get it on my fingers. No, I don't care. An easy way to get it off is nail polish remover.
Yep.
Gets it off.
That'll do it.
That'll help get it off. So, you know, maybe you need a bottle of nail polish remover. You're going to need some super glue. I would get some accelerant.
Some folks wear rubber gloves. Like those, yeah, like little, like those, so you don't get it all.
I can't do that. Like, I need that tactile. Fingers, yeah. I need the tactile feel. Otherwise, it just doesn't feel right.
So, on a little bit on this note, Jay and I were talking about doing a video of us putting like a box together, like possibly the Clone Wars or maybe some models as we do them. If that's something you'd like to see, we're more than happy to do that. And you can see me goof it up and Jay do it really well. But, you know, it's the worst things you're going to do. You're going to drop a piece and not be able to find it. It's going to be gone, right? Yeah. Just hit the couch, the floor, cat gets it. You're going to glue your hands together. You're going to glue something to the table.
You drop a piece and then it's going to be glued to the back of your finger.
Yep. No, there's going to be. So again, this is all like everybody's done it.
Yeah.
Rite of passage when you're doing modeling. I've cut myself. I've done like,
Very
rare to do that. But like if something has gone wrong, your old boy Evan has probably done it.
Yeah, and then also, so there's something new, and I haven't fully seen the sprues yet and how they're doing the models. But one of the things you're going to find, and we saw this a little bit with these earlier models, is you're going to see some gaps now. So what gaps are is when two pieces are coming together, sometimes like a larger bodied piece or something, when it comes together, it doesn't fit. Because, you know, it's an imperfect process.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the stuff doesn't fit just right. So you're going to get some gaps in between the two pieces. So a thing that you can do, GW Games Workshop, Citadel, sells this stuff called green stuff. There's two types. There's the actual where you mix two, basically, it's like clay almost.
Green and blue, right?
Blue and yellow to make green.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. And so they're like, it's like a, like almost like clay. You take the two off, you mix them together until they're green. It's very pliable, like Play-Doh, a little bit tougher than that. But and then you set it in, you smooth it out, use water on your finger, smooth it out a little bit, and then it takes about a day to harden. And then once it does, you can then sand it and smooth it out. And that's kind of how you fill gaps. They also have liquid green stuff, which is for smaller gaps. So you can just kind of get some liquid green stuff. It's in a paint bottle, same as in a pot, same as all Citadel paints. And you just kind of paint it on there with a brush, make sure you clean up everything. So you're going to need that too.
For the green stuff too, if you feel real creative, I believe that's how you made your capes on some of your stormtroopers.
Yeah, so
you can get little artsy with them too.
Yeah, it basically turns to plastic, right?
Yeah.
And hardens up, and then you can prime it and paint it. And so, like, I made these stormtroopers that, like, in my mind, they were kind of like stuck on a planet, like they got abandoned when the war was over, and so like they've got like skin, like capes and helmets of like some crazy animal that they killed on the planet. And so, yeah, I just made that out of green stuff.
That's where my Han Solo is wearing a hat. It's made of that stuff. Like, yep. My buddy made that for me. So, yeah, you can. It's not only is it to fill the gaps in so it looks more natural and correct to the model.
Yeah.
But you can also, if you get
creative.
Yeah, get creative. I mean, it's an easy way that you don't have to buy a alt model to make, you know, give them a little flair.
Yeah, and then techniques for that, like, I'm not gonna go through them now, but what you can do is if you just Google you can Google green, like how to use green.
There's
stuff.
A lot of good stuff out there,
but also it's the same kind of concept and properties as clay, like when people are making models out of clay, so you can just kind of follow those two.
No, there's some a lot of the 40k guys to get some of the cooler stuff, they do green stuff molding, and some of those guys are absolute wizards, man. It's crazy. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think just as a little piece of advice for everyone, if this was your first hobby game, and you haven't done sprues before, just patience. You're going to need some patience. Take your time. Take a look at how things connect, how they look, and you'll make it through.
You new recruits are sloppy. Time for some Imperial discipline with Kevin Valliere.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kevin Valliere. Welcome to my little corner of Imperial Discipline here on the 5th Trooper. Before I get started, a big thank you to Jay and Evan and everyone in the 5th Trooper Network for letting me join their little slice of Legion Heaven. I'm excited to be doing these small snippets once a month to talk a little bit more about what I'm writing on my blog, but also topics that I didn't get to on my blog that are important for beginners, things that we're going to talk about on this blog. My hope is that beginners will find them extremely useful, but also that veterans will get a lot out of this too. So if you're new to Legion, stick around. If not, hope you still stick around. But no shame in using this time to go grab a beer from the fridge. So this week, what I want to talk about is the Legion Buying Guide, which I released last week on my blog. This is a big post that I do about every 6 months to try and adjust a little bit for the meta of Legion and talk about where Legion has come, where Legion has gone, and what beginners need to know about buying into the game, either for the very first time or when they're in the early stages of the purchases that they're making. So that's going to be the first half of what I'm talking about. And then we're going to talk a little bit about faction identity and trying to figure out what faction you should play when you're first starting, because I think that's the other piece of the pie that we don't get to. And definitely, I want to get to the buying guide, because while it did spark some discussion, it wasn't meant as a discussion piece necessarily. It was more of a text reference, which is what I like to do on my blog. But I think that there's a lot of discussion to be had about what I was talking about with the units and absolutely with faction identity. I use the sort of stereotypical Japanese ranking system, starting with S tier and then going down to A tier, B tier, C tier, and so forth. So S tier is the absolute must-have, must-buy piece of Legion ephemera, and that is the core set, obviously. If you don't know, you get Darth Vader, two Stormtroopers, the 74Z speeder bikes, Luke, two Rebel Troopers, and an AT-RT, plus barricades, range roller segments, movement templates, and all the command and upgrade and objective cards that you need to actually play Legion. Now, it is, I believe, $90 retail, but you can almost always find it on Amazon for $70. Now, for those of you outside of the U.S., the price is definitely going to fluctuate, but it doesn't really matter where you are, because the Legion core set is always going to be the best bang for your buck when it comes to the staple units for the Rebels and the Empire. And that's why I have them not only in the S tier, the absolute must buy, but also in the A tier. You're going to hear this argument from a lot of people that at the very least you should be getting another core set when you're first starting out. This is the thing that I didn't actually do because I didn't quite understand that reasoning when I first started, and I regret that immensely. I really should have gotten a second core set. And I want to go over why exactly that is. Like I said, in terms of US dollars, you can usually find it on sale for 70. It's been as low as like 60, I think, recently. You're getting two Stormtrooper expansions, that's $40. Speeder bikes, that's 15 US dollars. Two Rebel Troopers, that's another 40. An AT-RT, that's also 15. A dice pack is $15, and Range Lords and Movement Templates are $15. So for, you know, 70 to 90 US dollars, depending on where and when you get it, you're getting $140 of value. Wargaming as a hobby can be intimidatingly expensive sometimes. I think FFG has done a great job of neutralizing that as best as possible. But in terms of trying to get the most for your money, this is absolutely the place to start. And I really do think something we don't talk enough about as a community is that you really should have more than just the dice set that the dice that you get in the core set. You're going to want usually six of each. So definitely that core set, not only is it great bang for buck, it just takes care of a lot of that stuff. Makes it a little bit easier. It gives you the backups, the range rulers, especially. They can be finicky sometimes and break. It's nice to have. Now, I'm not going to go down for Imperials and Rebels and talk about every single unit in each tier, but I do want to talk a little bit about how I'm structuring my decisions when I talk about the Legion core set. And I'm drawing a little bit from an article that my friend Kyle, you may know him as Orchimedes, he does another great podcast, Notorious Scoundrels, here on this network. He talked about building competitive lists. And in that, he talks about first, you find your focus. Maybe it's Vader, maybe it's Veers, maybe it's Luke. And once you found your focus, you build out your core, and then you add the supports in around that. And I think the exact same structure is how you should build your shopping list in the exact same way that you would build a competitive list. So early on, after we found those two core sets, we're going to start to flesh out those focuses. Maybe it's Veers, maybe it's Leia, or maybe you're just buying more of those Stormtroopers and Rebel Troopers. You want to get between four and six of those core units. And if you buy two core sets, you're going to get four. But you may want to go up as high as five or six. I think that's a really common thing. And it feels sort of lackluster when you're first getting into the hobby. You know, like you want to get to the fun big toys. Why am I painting more Stormtroopers and more Stormtroopers? But it's vital in terms of fielding competitive lists. Now, if you don't care so much about competition, stick with what you got, go crazy, buy some weird stuff, that's fine. But depending on what it is that you want to achieve with the game, especially in the early stages, you may or may not want to focus on the Stormtroopers and Rebel Troopers. And then this is also the, you know, sort of much maligned Scout Troopers and Rebel Commandos fielding the Snipers, or perhaps on the fringe fielding the Saboteur teams. But as you start to filter down from those early, you know, really must-buy pieces, you start to make choices about what it is that you want to play and what's fun to you. On the Imperial side, maybe that's going for a bounty hunter for the Rebels. Maybe that's just sort of choosing the hero that you're going to pair alongside Luke or Leia. You fill out with the other big set pieces like a tank or an AT-ST as you get lower down, or maybe Chewie or a land speeder. Now, I wrote in the article, and this has been true every time I've written it, but the only really, you know, bad unit at this point is the T-47 Airspeeder. It is a gorgeous model. I adore it. Don't buy it yet. Wait a little bit unless you just really want the painting practice. It's a beautiful, beautiful model, but it's not up to snuff right now. But again, when I was at the Northeast Open, I played a guy named Christian. He ran a hilarious, amazing vehicle list, and he flew the Airspeeder to great effect. It was a lot of fun. So depending on what you want to achieve in the game, that's an idea of sort of what you're looking at to buy. Start with those core sets. They're going to give you basically everything you need, and then start to filter down. Okay, what do I need next? Maybe it's another commander. Maybe it's some more core units to flesh out. And then we're looking at support stuff. We're looking at the laser cannons. We're looking at the E-webs, maybe. We're looking at tanks and fun operatives, whatever you might like. Fortunately, right now, there is not only plenty of diversity, but it's not an overwhelming amount of diversity when it comes to the units. You can pretty much guess at what units go where and how armies are supposed to be put together. And luckily, there are a lot of other great resources out there to sort of help you put those lists together. But when it comes to buying, you are going to be spending, you know, a couple hundred dollars to field a competitive, ready squad, not counting the time it takes to paint. So I think it does help to think about what you want to accomplish with your army, And also, what army you want to buy into. And that's the part of the Legion buying guide that I didn't quite get to talk about. I think that's more of a discussion piece than something that I can just tell you outright. Of course, I'm going to try and attempt to do just that now. When you're looking at buying into Legion, it was a little bit easier when you only had two choices, because for most people, it boiled down to don't want to play the bad guys or don't play the good guys. But as of this week, we're going to have people buying the Legion core set for the prequels, and we're going to have the Confederacy and the Republic armies out in the wild. And so we've added two new wild cards into the mix in terms of deciding what you want to do. Now, for some of you, in the same way that it was very easy to pick good guys and bad guys, it's going to be easy to say, you know what, the prequels are my childhood. I love these. How can I not go for General Grievous and the droids? And if that's the case, play what is fun to you. Fun and competitive are not mutually exclusive terms in Legion, which I think is one of its great strengths. If you like something, play it. There is almost certainly, with the exception of the Airspeeder, a way for you to make that a competitive list, or at the bare minimum, make that something that you can reasonably pass off on a casual table. But if you're not 100% sure what you want to play, maybe you want to mix things up, I want to talk a little bit about where we're kind of at with faction identity right now. So we've got the two main ones that we started with, Rebels and Empire. We know a lot more about them because we've had a lot more time with them and they have a lot more expansions. On one hand, you've got the Rebellion. In true Rebellion fashion, they are run and gun, whereas on the Empire side, you've got the gun line. They've done a really good job of making the armies feel like their movie counterparts. So if you're thinking about going Rebels, know that they're going to get shot down pretty quickly, but they're going to wreak havoc in really interesting and dynamic ways, whether that's the Z6 trooper, which is rolling a whole bunch of white dice and hoping for the best, or maybe it's Sabine and throwing a bunch of bombs down when your opponent least expects it. From the Empire, you're going to get a little bit less flashy, but you're going to get a lot more stable. You're going to get white dice on offense, the worst dice, but you're going to get red saves. Your stormtroopers are going to live, on average, much longer than the average rebel trooper. Going along with that, the rebels are a little bit more likely to have some understated set pieces. Luke and Leia don't necessarily cut the most intimidating figure on the battlefield, but they're both extremely effective in their own right. Whereas on the Empire side, it is very fun, no matter how much it's falling out of the meta. It is always very fun to plop an AT-ST down on the table and send it into the middle of a battle, looming over your opponents. In fact, whenever I do demos at stores, I always have an AT-ST sitting off to the side just so people can come look at it, because it is such a fun model to look at, and it is absolutely fun to play on the board. And the Empire really does love their big toys. They love Vader, Palpatine, the AT-ST, the tank. So if you like a little bit more stability, some people might call it boring, but the Empire calls it stability, plus the occasional expensive toy on the side, Empire is great for you. But with Rebellion, it's going to be a little bit more tactical. It's going to be a little bit more rigidity in choosing who you're engaging with and when. It's also a little bit less forgiving. And so for that reason, I would actually really recommend that if you are a brand new person to wargaming and you have no other dog in the fight, go Empire. It's going to be a little bit easier for you to adapt. And then if you want to buy into Rebels later, you'll still have the opportunity. Now, as for the CIS and the Republic, we can think of it as sort of a continuum. On one side, we've got more minis for less cost. We start there with the droids, and then on the other end, we've got fewer minis for a higher cost, and that's where we're going to have the Republic. So if you look at it on that continuum, you've got the droids, followed by the rebels, followed by the Empire, followed by the Republic. Republic, you're going to be elite squads with some heroes charging into the battle. Over on the droid side, you're going to have the B1s. They're going to have more units more minis base per unit than any other faction, but they're going to die super fast all the time. They may not have the best accuracy when it comes to shooting at enemies. They're more extreme versions of what we're seeing right now from the Rebels and the Empire. We might see things change as time goes on, but that's certainly what it looks like right now. it could go in different directions. But I think with the B1 battle droids, again, that low defense value, the higher number of minis, and then the Republic, where you are fielding expensive but extremely, extremely effective units of clone troopers, one of those may sound better to you than the other. Obviously, if you make a mistake with the Republic, each mistake hurts a little bit more than if you lose one battle droid. But the battle droids also have the AI function, which means that you may not always get to decide what they're going to do with their first action. And so they may be a little bit less beginner-friendly, despite being able to take losses a little bit better. All of this is a lot of information. But in summary, what I'm trying to get at is a couple things. One, I think that if you're a beginner coming into this game, stick with one faction for now. You will have plenty of time and opportunities to collect other units, to collect other factions, but start with one and start by getting two core sets. That gives you the base that you need, and that's true for both the prequel factions and the OT factions. It gives you the base you need to move forward and make some more strategic decisions about what you are doing with your army. Past that, pick a couple focus pieces. Maybe you want to stick with Darth Vader in the core set or General Grievous. Maybe you want to adapt out and really focus in on learning how to be the best Boba Fett player in the country. Whichever you do, focus on that and then expand outwards. Focus on resources online. Look at competitive lists that are telling you how to play those units. And finally, don't be afraid, once you've settled into a faction, to switch over if you need to. That's one of the great things about the community, going on Tabletop Simulator. You can try everything that you do before you buy it. So if you're really unsure and hearing about the faction identity still doesn't quite send you in one direction like you would like it to, hop online and play something on Tabletop Simulator. I know the Legion Discord community would be more than happy to help you try and figure out what your playstyle is and what is best going to resonate with you on the battlefield, because you've got plenty of time to get started with all of this. This is a really exciting time for the Legion community. We have been so much looking forward to the prequel core set. It is finally on our doorstep, and we're about to see a lot of big changes coming to the Legion landscape. So whichever faction you choose, and however you choose to buy into it, know that you've got a lot of support behind you. So thanks so much for listening. Stop by my blog at imperialdiscipline.blog. I do post every 2 weeks on Tuesdays. I'd be happy to talk to you and welcome you into the awesome Legion community.
Okay, and that was Kevin Valliere from imperialdiscipline.blog. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us. Now we're going to go ahead and cut over to our interview with David Zelenka after the in-flight report last night. Hey, everybody. Evan and Jay here, joined with David Zelenka from the Notorious Scoundrels, or Endless Online. How's it going, David?
It's going great. I'm here at Gen Con. Everybody's really thrilled to be here, and I am too.
Yeah.
It's like the Disney World of tabletop gaming.
Yeah, and so for those of you at home, we are actually recording this right after the in-flight report by Fantasy Flight Games. And so we're just going to kind of get our initial reactions here. And, you know, David, since you're kind of on the ground, why don't you go ahead and just give us some of your initial reactions?
Well, first of all, it was really crowded. It was very nearly standing room only. The ballroom has enough room for 1,200 people. And I was in the standby line because I made my plans late. So word of advice, if you want to go to these things, make sure you register far enough in advance to get a ticket so you don't have to sweat the standby line watching everybody walk past you into the venue and being like, oh gosh, I hope I get in. I hope I get in. I was joking with a friend of mine in the line that one of us needed to roll a natural 20. And I think one of us did, because we did get in eventually. So I got a seat kind of in the middle back. It was very crowded. A lot of really exciting new releases that were announced. Final Hour for Arkham Horror. The Legion content was just off the hook. Phase 2 clones, B2s, just a ton of new things coming our way for Legion. People generally seemed excited. I think a lot of people were tired. I think a lot of folks came in today and stood in the will call line for a very long time, you know, myself among them. So some of the reactions were a little delayed. There were some technical difficulties of the first after the first couple presentations. I think right before Genesis started, there was a little bit of a blackout on the PowerPoints that kind of caused some kerfuffle. But the presenter rolled with it really well, and yeah, people are stoked. And I mean, I haven't even gotten to like the Marvel license that they announced either.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I think from my perspective, and maybe I don't know, but like the Clone Wars announcements for Legion were kind of, Evan and I had done some speculating our last episode, and it was kind of in line with what we speculated, you know, the two new tanks, you got Dooku and Rex, like that all seemed very in line, the B2 droids, the phase two clone troopers. But really, I think the real news is the Civil War announcement stuff, right? The original stuff. I think that kind of came out of nowhere.
So let me try to remember. You mean the stuff they announced for Galactic Civil War?
Yeah, so they did the bunker, the Imperial bunker battlefield expansion, and then they did the crashed escape pod with R2 and C-3PO.
Gosh, yeah, how could I forget R2 and 3PO? Yeah. Yeah, R2 and 3PO are coming. They didn't have any details about what they actually do.
Right.
They just showed the minis. But the minis look great. I mean, was that ever a question, especially with them switching to the hard plastic? I don't think it was going to be a question that the miniatures were going to look stunning.
Yeah, I think the big news there was two things. It sounded like they weren't very specific if it was battlefield expansions for just, you know, the crashed pod, or if those were going to be for, you know, for competitive use as well. But then also that they could be used in either Rebels or Republic armies. So we're seeing cross-faction units already.
That is stellar. That's something I might not have been paying as close attention as I should have. I'm on very low sleep, but I think that's really awesome that we're going to be able to use them in either Rebel or Republic. I think that bodes well. I think there's a number of characters in the Star Wars universe that fit that bill. My favorite, of course, being Ahsoka. She definitely fits that bill. She could be either Republic or Rebel, depending on the time period. But that's an exciting new vista on what they might do design-wise with Legion that they've opened up.
Yeah, so Evan, what about you? What was your most exciting takeaway?
The sculpts for Commander Cody and Dooku. It was cool to see the Phase 2 guys. This is going to be multi-pose. I'm a little bummed that the stuff's not coming out till Q1. So because I really was excited to maybe play these factions at upcoming events near the end of the year. It's gonna be a little rough without some of the units they announced, but overall, pretty standard stuff, like more cores, heavy units, the being able to take two of those bunkers and playing them back to back to make like a big facility kind of thing is pretty cool. A while ago I had been asking like, hey, if they made official terrain, I would just buy it. And it looks like they heard me. And so now I'm going to be buying more terrain.
Yeah, they got the downed ATST. Now they got the bunker. Now they got the escape pod. They actually said they're going to do new mission cards for both of these new expansions as well. So if you already purchased the downed ATST and you already know what's in there with those new missions, I think it's just more to come and more like a narrative story-based opportunities rather than the straight-out kind of, I hesitate to call them generic, but the kind of scenarios that we're sort of used to that fit any...
Like a standard game.
Yeah, they're like standard games. Yeah, they're open enough to where anybody could just play them.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, I think that this is showing people out there, too. I think a lot of people feared that when Clone Wars was announced, like Galactic Civil War was going to take a back seat. And I think we're seeing that is just not the case. Like they're just going to keep releasing, for both in tandem, which is amazing.
Well, it's, what really comes to my mind is when, we first started Legion back in March of 2018, gosh, it's been that long. It was really when we had very limited selections of units. So we only had, Rebel Troopers and AT-RTs, for example, for Rebels, and Luke Skywalker, and no second commander. And I mean, we're kind of, it's sort of a replay of that scenario now with Republic and CIS. And I mean, it does kind of stink that we're going to have to wait till after the new year for, you know, these second commanders and for the sort of, you know, snowtrooper, I guess, if you wanted to make an analogy, right? The B1s are stormtroopers.
Yeah,
and the B2s, and they're, you know, if they, it's sort of the way they designed it, you know, they seem to have a tiered kind of system where you have a basic core and then a slightly different, more advanced core, and then like a super elite core, like shore troopers and rebel veterans.
No, sure.
Right. And so B2s, I think, occupy, you know, maybe we don't know what their stats yet, but it feels like B2s were meant to occupy that kind of more elite role.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I don't think that there was really a ton of surprise. I think it's amazing. Like, we knew this was coming with Clone Wars because they, you know, Clone Wars just have a ton more toys. And so, you know, I think we saw the tanks coming. But I mean, for me, that was honestly one of my most exciting points, too. Like, when I saw that hover tank for the droids, I like made an audible, oh, yeah. Like I was like, I just so excited for tanks in this game. You know, we have the occupier already, but like, this is just going to be amazing. I'm really jacked for this. All right, well, David, so you're going to be playing, when's your heat?
It's tomorrow morning, so at 8 o'clock I'm going to show up here. My friend Robert is going to land, he's going to give me my ticket, and I'm going to go beg Brendan France to let me in the tournament, because that's how this works. They're not transferable, so and apparently they don't really care about names, so as long as you have a legitimate ticket, they'll let you in. So it's kind of exciting. It's crowded with a lot of really good players. Nima, I think Garnon and I, some portion of the Legion Academy guys. There's a lot of like names in this first one.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. Well, good luck, man, and thanks for reporting in. We appreciate it, and we hope to hear from you more this weekend.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be really exciting, and I think there's going to be more to come. I'm going to be demoing a lot of the games that they advertised in the in-flight, so the new Marvel game, I sure got my eye out for that, and some of those new cooperative games I'm super interested in, too, so there'll just be more to come, and... You know, we've just scratched the surface about Gen Con, so.
Yeah, man. Thanks again.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for going, man.
My pleasure.
So, yeah, that was David on the floor, tired, on 3 hours of sleep, reporting from Gen Con.
What a trooper.
What a guy. And going to play tomorrow, so he better get some sleep. I've been to Gen Con. It's a crazy show. It's huge. It's intense and insane, and there's just like all this stuff you want to do and see. Oh man, and there's just never enough time.
No, that's always like the problem with going to play tournaments, these events, because every time I'm at one of those events playing an X-Wing or Legion tournament, there's always that little voice in my mind telling me, like, you could just be doing anything else, right? Like, look at this place.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I don't know. So, you know, my view, I guess real talk, my view was, I don't know, like the bunker and C-3PO and R2-D2 very much surprised me. Did not see either of those coming. And I think we all had some inkling that C-3PO and R2-D2 would show up eventually. Like, so that's not the surprising part.
Yeah.
The surprising part is how they packaged it. Into the battlefield expansion with the breakout of the units, he said. You know, so that's, you know, we still don't know what kind of unit type they're going to be, but, you know, I mean, it's just interesting that they'll be, that you can break them out. And he said you could add them to Republic or the Rebels, which is
great. That's super cool.
It makes sense really cool. Thematically, but like to see cross faction play like that is going to be great. Like, so I thought it would be fun, Evan.
Yeah.
For you and I to just talk about what other cross factions, like David had mentioned Ahsoka as a potential cross faction between Rebels and Republic.
Sure.
I'll go first if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe Saw Gerrera.
Old Saw, New Saw. Because yeah. The younger one is the new one now, right?
Right, but I mean, technically, our C-3PO is not completely built in some of the Republic. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's...
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, that'd be cool. Yeah, you mentioned Saw a while ago. Well, you could do... My boy Thrawn was in both. He was kind of skating around in the Clone Wars. Actually, that was the second book of the new release. He knew Anakin as the Jedi, and then he met him again as Darth Vader. That'd be cool. Actually, my favorite would be like an old Ben, maybe a two pack with Maul, because you could do Maul like almost solo Maul, where he's kind of like a crime lord, and then Maul when he was like still an operative, like an evil apprentice.
Yep.
And then Obi-Wan could be Rebels, and he could be, I don't know, like maybe if they ever do anything else, that'd be cool too.
Yeah, I think there's some opportunities in there for sure, and that's cool. You know,
a whole lot of people generally lived through the Clone Wars, so
yeah,
just like some of the named heroes are the ones you can go with.
Yeah, I mean, so. That's very interesting. I'm glad that David could join us. I mean, overall, I was underwhelmed.
I wasn't like shocked, right? Like the train was cool, and I'll be probably buying two of those bunkers, just so I can put them back to back and make the place for my fleet troopers to hang out, party house for fleets. But like tank probably. Was gonna come new commanders Cody and Dooku. Okay, yep. Like I wasn't like shocked. Like whoa! Like when they announced the Clone Wars box set, and I saw that Grievous model, I was like, wow! Right at Adepticon, this is nuts. And this, I just felt a little like that's it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to sound like. Disappointed,
like a Debbie Downer.
Or unappreciative. It's all good. It wasn't like it didn't blow my socks off. It was just like, yeah, this all makes sense.
Yeah, it was like the best way I can say it was like acceptable. I'm like, yes, okay. All the stuff I kind of thought in my mind canon that was coming is coming. Good. Pretty much I think that the waves are gonna get me are the waves after this one. Because this is all stuff we've had the Clone Wars so spoiled to us for so long at this point that we've already like kind of decided in our heads what's coming, right?
Yeah.
And then so to actually get when we start getting these next couple waves, that's when I think the cool, like the real cool stuff's coming, because they needed a tank, they needed a heavy. So both sides got the heavy from Battlefront 2, right? Like those are the two heavies on the map. So I'm like, okay. Yep. Super battle droids being a core unit was kind of a shock. I thought I pegged those for specialists, but that's really cool. Phase 2 battle droids look cool. One thing I did notice, everything kind of went up a little bit, right? $10?
Yeah, well, I knew this was...
Yeah, you wrote an article about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a... that's definitely something that's going to happen, that you're going to see more. Two reasons. One is going to be the hard plastic, and two is all the trade problems that are going on right now.
Yeah, I had, I just assumed it was because you actually get, like, you'll have leftover bits now, and then you can use, like, what you do with 40K, right? Then you can put your leftover bits, you can make, like, different guys with, if you buy two boxes, you have, like, way more options to build them.
Yeah, I mean, all the models seemed reasonable. My real problem here is the bunker. $75 MSRP.
That's high. Yeah.
Like,
dude,
what are you talking about? Like, it's a bunker.
because he's like, you can buy two and put them together, and I'm going to. Dude,
for right? $150? Like, jeez. Get out of here.
That's a core set That's a core set and two things of Stormtroopers, so you can play Legion like immediately.
Like, okay, right? Everybody out there, I get it, right? I get buying it. I understand why we're going to.
Yeah.
But, dude, come on. $75 for a bunker? Shut the front door. That is redonkulous.
like I had just accepted paying 60 for the tanks, like the occupier, yep. and then the other tanks I think were listed at 60 as well.
Yep.
So that's I was like, fine. Yeah, okay, right. They're good. Like they're big. The occupier's really pretty detailed. You get some extra stuff in there. Okay, but yeah, like so the bunker is a tank you don't get to play with.
Yep.
Right, like a tank and a card pack.
Dude, it's like, yeah, you're buying it for the cards because you could make that bunker.
Yeah, yeah.
And then let's see. So the unit expansions were $34.95, so $35. So there's your increase there. Then you got the two new commanders are $12.95.
Yeah,
so fine. They're right in the normal, you know. But yeah, I mean the price was shocking to me. But I knew that. I mean, it wasn't shocking. The bunker price was shocking to me. The rest of the prices I knew was, you know, we figured were coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the rest of stuff, like, you know, like X-Wing had the price increase, the $5 price increase for all the everything for 2.0. And then when I saw the 35, I'm like, that's still okay. As long as it never breaches that, like, that $40, $50 mark, like 40K stuff is.
Yeah.
Like, once it hits that 50 mark, I'm going to be a little upset for, a unit of dudes.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of the nice sell to Legion was it was cheaper, right? Like, you could buy, right now, you could buy two things of fleets for $50, and that's a lot of dudes, right? And that's two cores. That's a lot. Where 35, I'm still okay with, especially if they're going to be on sprues and you're going to have a lot more building options. Like, I'm still fine there. It's if they get a little bit more toward that 50 mark where I'm going to be like, it's getting a little high now.
Yeah.
But overall, like, you know, on some other game stuff, because they kind of just slingshot a lot at us. X-Wing got a new wave, some new ships from the show, got some card packs, which is interesting because they're announcing new pilots and new obstacles. So it'd be a cool thing for Legion to look at, like maybe point updates.
Yeah.
Or erratas, like, hey, here's a card pack with all the erratas. That'd be cool. But how about that Marvel game, huh?
Yeah, that looked really neat.
I really didn't want to like it because I've got so many other games
that
I'm playing. But then, like, yeah, you can play as, like, Spider-Man. You make a 10-man team, whatever you want. And then you get kind of like a drafting deck building to the scenario you're playing. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm not in. I saw the Venom. And I can have Spider-Man and Venom fighting together, like, in the old Sega game, Maximum Carnage. And I'm like, oh, no. But why? So yeah, it's the Legion stuff is I'm happy with. I'm just not ecstatic about.
Right.
I'm like, yep, that's gonna be cool. I'm like we were talking with Dave was here. I kind of wish that they were had like a launch date with the core set, like maybe just the heavies even. So I could play them at you know, an event at the end of the year maybe.
Yep.
But that's all. Like that's my only real like. It kind of disappointment of it was I just kind of wish those they weren't all Q1 so we could have because I'm going to be playing drones for a while and it like I've got three units to choose from, right? Grievous drones and the droidicas.
Yeah I mean it's definitely going to be interesting and I'm looking forward to it. It's just like I feel like with some of this stuff they're stretching a little bit. Like the downed ATST, I was like, that's a stretch. And now the bunker, I'm like, I'm not buying that. Like, get out of here.
Well, you can put the downed ATST outside the bunker and you get some trees and you got Endor, man. Like,
I want terrain. Don't get me wrong. I don't want $75 of one piece of terrain. Like, that. Good God.
I mean, that's not built or painted.
No.
Like, that's. No.
It's and then you know and then they're kind of tricking us with our you know R2-D2 C-3PO because that's
it's like, the pod I don't want but I want right, the units. Right.
Who cares about the pod? Like I mean, okay, so great. There's probably some of you out there. Actually, you know what? You guys can write into us if you're interested. If like really super interested in those terrain pieces, tell us why. Because yeah, I for the life of me don't have a reason.
You know, we're hot taking right now. But yeah, if you got it really in, I mean, it's Legion terrain, so I'm in, but like there's a lot of people who make good Legion terrain now. Like, it's not like a sole exclusive thing.
Dude, and they took two models, C-3PO, R2-D2, which should be, let's say, $12, right? Because they come as a pair. Let's say, yeah. Let's say you make them
$20.
$20, right? Yeah. Oh, guess what? If you want them now, you got to pay $40 with the escape pod. Dude, get out of my house. Listen, everyone. I'm hot taking off of, like Evan said, we're hot taking off of it. It just seems excessive to me right now. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, because the worst part was the train again. Glad we get it, but I was kind of hoping for maybe more units. Like, if they're gonna show me something, like, or even a view down the road, yeah. Like, hey, this is, you know, we got more stuff coming. Here's a look at it. Because like the showed stuff that I keep saying, like, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, I kind of figured that was coming. And like, I was surprised by the bunker. And then I saw, he's like, yeah, you can put two together. And I saw 75 piece. I'm like, $150 for two bunkers. Kind of build and paint.
So I'll say this. This just came to my head. All right. So the downed ATST and the bunker. Okay, cool. You got those out. I'm not required to get them to play. Like, yep. They're fun pieces to play with and to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not required. Now, you want C-3PO and R2-D2 in your list? You have to buy a $40 piece with the terrain when you should have been paying $20 for it. And that's where I have the problem.
It's I see a little bit of the... Jay, you missed a lot of stuff in 1.0 X-Wing. So
yeah.
There used to be a Palpatine, the card. Amazing card, staple of a lot of Imperialists for a long time. Guess what he came in?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, he came in a $100 ship.
Oh,
that was like nothing else on it was X-Wing 1.0 playable. It was their bigger expanded playable.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd buy it just for one piece of card.
Oh my god!
And then put it on your shelf. And C-3PO came in the Corellian Corvette, which was the same thing. You buy it. You take this. Han was in there too, but no one played Han. You took out this the C-3PO. Like crew card, and then you put the $100 ship on your shelf to just kind of hang out. Like,
okay, yeah, so yeah, you're a company. I get it. You're wanting to make money. I get it. Like, I want to make money too. I like money. We all like money, dude. Packaging a unit with terrain, not cool, bro. Not cool.
That was kind of surprising. That was a little surprising to me.
And I don't know. Listen, everybody, I'm hot taking. I may change my mind at some point here. But as of right now, I'm pretty not cool with what just happened with that. The more I think about it, the angrier it's making me, actually. So I'm going to, like, I think we should probably close it off on Jay being angry. But, like,
yeah, that's fine.
Dude, not cool.
Not cool, bro.
Not cool, bro. That's a very unbro thing to do. And with that, we'll get back to the rest of the episode.
All right. Thanks, guys.
What are they talking about?
Okay, so now we're going to go on to some listener questions. We got an email from Nick. He said that one of the things that bothers him about this game is raw advantage of number of activations. And he wanted to know if we think that adding the ability to pass your turn if you have fewer activations remaining than your opponent would be a way to mitigate the advantage. Also, do we think that this would make strike teams less ubiquitous in the competitive meta?
So, interesting idea. And so, it's actually, if you think that should be worth exploring, house rule it. Try it out, right? Like, that's the nice thing about the game is if you're just playing in your kitchen or a store with a buddy who wants to try too, if you've got, like, a lower activation, say you get to pass one or something like that. I know Twilight Imperium, that's one race's big deal, is they can do that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's also funny you say that, because one of our locals, Brandon, he plays with Palp, and he had 7 activations. If he had beat Sploosh at the thing, he would have came in second?
Yeah.
Like, you know, he had 7 compared to 11?
Well, he would, yeah.
Or at least been, like, top...
Second or third.
Top table, right?
Yeah.
So, even though activation count is low, I've been experimenting with, like, a strong 8.
Yeah, I think there's a min number. I think it's 8.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But yeah, no, activation control is interesting. If you have a strong presence and you know what you're doing, Like, you know, we've played with 12, 13 activations before. And
back in the wild days.
It's interesting. But, you know, when you're spreading yourself thin like that, it's just you're not as strong, you know, as a per unit.
Like, most of my lists lately have been 8 to 9 that I've been playing with and getting pretty – we have pretty close games.
Like, yeah, I feel I don't know. I think the meta right now is 10.
Yeah.
If you don't have 10, you're probably going to do just okay. And I passing. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, because I think if you're allowed to do that, I think it could be dangerous and you might end up messing up more than you think. Or maybe it might give too much of an advantage.
Yeah, you know, my fear is if, like, let's say you do both players get one pass, and you pass, and you're like, I pass, this one's back to you anyway. Or if you've got lower, you get one pass, but then you're kind of hurting the guy who sacrificed to get those extra activations, right? Even though snipers and strike teams are probably too cheap overall. Like, I don't know, it's worth trying, right? Like, you just run it and see if you like it. Right now, I don't see it as a super issue. Jay and I have kind of been doing stuff like just not using strike teams.
Yeah.
In some of our lists just to try.
And I think a lot of people are doing it. That's kind of the...
I mean, honestly, if you go to a big tournament, probably taking 3 snipers is probably the thing to do.
Yeah.
Or like 3 saps if you're pretty confident with them.
Right. And so back to your original question, Nick. I don't know. I think that could get dangerous in the other way from mitigating activation control. I think that could become too powerful. And then they'd have to be some weird mechanic on how many times you could do it or how often. And I just think it's too much. So
I think give it a shot and, you know, give us another email. See how it goes.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it would have to be a casual game, right?
Oh, so, yeah, you can't go into a tournament.
All right. Next one is from Joshua. Sorry, Joshua. Joshua from Vancouver. Josh wants to know, he listened to our podcast recently about not taking snipers, and he's going to try out the following list at an RPQ coming up in August here.
Okay.
So it's 786 points, clearly shooting for blue Leia.
Yeah.
Leia with improvised orders. Okay, good start.
Yep.
2 rebels with Z6 and astromech. All right. 2 rebels with Z6 and an extra trooper, the fifth trooper, if you will.
There we go.
2 rebel troopers with Z6, and comms tech and comms relay. So he's got, there's your 6 core with Leia. 2 ATRT with rotary and 1 ATRT with flame. He says his plan is to use the flamethrower as bait to get the rest of my army into place. His weakness, as he sees it, is disarray deployment. So he tried to drop some upgrades to up his bid, and he plans on relying heavily on those ATRTs, giving them order tokens, comm relay. So here's where your problem is going to be, Joshua. Empire. So I think rotaries, and actually, Joshua, if you take a moment and go listen to the Scoundrels from yesterday, they actually talk about how strong they think ATRTs actually are and how they haven't been given their proper due lately because of all the new, you know, units.
Yeah.
But rotaries and flames are both super good. I think where your problem's going to be is, I mean, you got 10 activations, so you got activation control. I find that anytime somebody takes that big of a bid, that's a 14-point bid.
That's quite high.
Yeah, you're going to be missing something. So you may want to just take a look and see if there's something you can add to your Rebels or to Leia or to the ATRTs, just, you know, just as a... just to beef your army up a little bit. I think it's a good idea. I think it's going to work. I think you, with improvised orders and comms relay, activation control is going to be okay. You'll be able to get what you need. You only have 3 types of units, so I think your activation control is going to be really good. I think your problem is going to be getting through those 6 core troops to try to get out to the support units.
Yeah. You know, it's tough. You said I used to experiment with ATRTs a little bit. DLTs, man. You just got to watch those because they'll eat you alive. Because really, ATRTs have 6 hit points, but they really have like 4. Because when they hit that break point, right, it gets bad news. But I know, man, sometimes those rotary blasters and those flamethrowers really pay for themselves like hard.
Yeah.
And now that the new weapons disable things out, they're not just dead in the water if they get that one. But, you know, let us know how you do. I know I'll be in Canada the weekend of August 23rd to 24th, 5th for the Grand Championship. So if you're there, you know, come say hi. But we'll give us a shout, man. Like, I'd actually be interested to see if that worked out for you. Because that's an interesting kind of list to bring, like, an anti-sniper, like, no snipers, here I go kind of thing.
Yeah. And then also Joshua wanted to know when Neo 2020 was, because he's really interested in coming down. And a little teaser, it right now, tentatively, it will be the weekend after the 4th next year. So
cool.
If you're thinking about coming, that's when it's going to be. Let's see. I think we had one more question. So this person, this was Brian. Brian wanted to know our thoughts on Double Bounty. It's been talked about a lot. A lot of people seem to like it. What are our thoughts? Evan, I'll let you go first.
Okay, Double Bounty is powerful, but in the right hands. It takes a lot of practice. I've seen people try it and then get Bulba out of place or get... Bosque is very good, but he is wearing a t-shirt, right? Taking four hits isn't hard to get on him if he's not like positioned right. And if you lose your bounty hunters, that's probably game. You really need those to do the work for you.
Yep.
Is it good? Sure. It's probably... I know Sploosh did very well with it at our Neo. I've seen a couple other folks use it. We have a couple. Spencer in our local has been trying it out.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of point sync when just one of them will do.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's cool though, right? Because sure. You get to use both bounty hunters. And that's neat.
Yeah, I get it. It's just a lot going on. So I think from a fun perspective, absolutely. From a meta perspective, trying to win games, maybe. But I think you're going to run into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you really need the snipers to give you that extra activations, because with Veers, Boba with stims and whatever else you put on him, and Bosque with stims, he really likes stims.
Yep.
And everything else on him, it gets a little heavy. I think it's good. It's worth a play. Yep. But the first time you play it, you may just get wiped, because you outplay, like, if you move somebody just out of place on that, it's real rough. So it's, again, this is another one of those, give it a shot, let us know what you think. I think it's good if you get really good at it, but with all the new units and stuff coming out, I mean, you're...
There's better options.
Right now, yeah, and plus, it's kind of funny because you don't have a Force user, so General Grievous gets real sad. He's got no one to Jedi hunt, and so does, neither does the new Vader, too.
Right. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and if you want to reach out to us with any questions or concerns or comments, please do, and we'll try to read those on the air. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Everyone, stay rad.
Have something you want to say? Let us know at contact@thefifthtrooper.com.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.